And so we're holding on Dalet Amud Aleph at the top. So to recap, we've been discussing the question. We had a braisa that mentioned that there were a number of similarities between any other kind of midorim as well to and nizirus. We learned from a hekesh from one to the other. And one of them we said was that just like by a regular neder, a person makes a neder that to bring a korban, for example, or to give tzedakah or whatever, then he's over, if he delays it too long, he's over on bal ta'achar. So it is also with nazirus. If a person delays his nazirus, then he's over on bal ta'achar. So we were trying to figure out what the scenario is that a person would be over on bal ta'achar with nazirus. If we're talking, because once he's a nazir, he's a nazir. So we mentioned a possibility, and actually when we learned about this on Friday, I said it a little wrongly, so I'll try to correct it now. We said the Gemara had mentioned a case where a person says, when I want, I will become a nazir. So now if he delays actually declaring that I'm a nazir, then he will be over on bal ta'achar. Within that, by the way, you have a machloikus where the Rosh says that would be like the bal ta'achar of other korbanos, where he's only over after three regalim. And the Ran brings up that possibility as well, and says, in fact, in that case, you could have, for example, the person says, I'm going to become a nazir within the next 2 years. No matter how you slice it, within the next 2 years, there are going to be three regalim, even if you follow the, even you have the opinions that in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which we learned just about a year ago, that you have longer, that you have maybe as much as five regalim, depending when you made the neder, still within 2 years, you're surely going to have that. So that's one way of learning is that in fact he's only over after three regalim. Another way of learning, which the Ran also mentions and other Rishonim say as well, is maybe he would be over sooner than that. The same way as the Gemara says over there, for example, if a person makes a neder for tzedakah, then he's over right away if he doesn't give it, because there are always aniyim available. The same way it's always available here for him to become a nazir. Now we mention in the Gemara related case where a person says loy epotim and olam ad shehei nazir, that a person says I won't die before I die I will become a nazir. So now there are two ways of understanding that. One is then that we're giving an answer and we're saying that there's a difference. If a person says loy epotim and olam ad shehei nazir, then one way of understanding it is that whether he says that or whether he says when I want, I will become a nazir, then one way of understanding is that no, he doesn't become a nazir right away, but it means he has a responsibility to become a nazir as soon as possible. So then the other way of understanding, which was Tosfos's, is that no, if he says, loya potim in olam ad shehei nazir, he would in fact become a nazir right away, and then how is there possible bal ta'acha? The fact is he is a nazir right now. So now, that was the point I had missed when we were learning it on Friday. So in any case, it comes out, according to one way of understanding it in Tosfos, and also this is how the Ran understands it, is so far the Gemara has given one answer of how it's possible to be over on Bal Ta'acha with Nazir, namely if he says that I will become a Nazir at some future date, whether he uses the expression Lachsha Eretze, or whether he says the expression Lo Yapotim Min HaOlam. According to Tosfos, what we're saying is we haven't really had an answer yet. We're still trying to figure out how is he over on Bal Ta'achar, given that in either of those cases, he's going to be a nazir right away. So now the Gemara continues, Rav Acha by Yaakov Amar. Here is a case. Now, again, according to the Ran and one answer in Tosfos, this is going to be a second way that a nazir can be over on Bal Ta'achar. According to the other explanation in Tosfos, this is going to be the first way that we're finally going to have where a nazir is over on Bal Ta'achar. It should be the Nazar, how goes Habach changes it to. He declared Nazirus, Vahu Beves HaKvaris, when he's in a Beves HaKvaris. So now what happens is, he has to go out right away and accept Nazirus, because as long as he's in the Beves HaKvaris, he's Tomei, he can't be a Nazir over there. So then if he delays going out, then he's over on Bal Ta'achar. Now, according to the Ran, again, it would be if he delays, then he's right away over. The Meiri says within that, okay, maybe you could say if he leaves later that day, you can't say it's Bal Ta'achar. The fact is, his Nazirus is going to begin later today, and Nazirus is going to last for 30 days. So does it really matter whether it begins at 9 o'clock in the morning or whether it begins at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Either way, today still counts. Only the Meiri says that even if you're going to say that, it would mean that he stayed there till the next day. On the other hand, the Rosh, again, following his Shita, would say that we're talking about where he stayed there the entire Shalosh Regalim. So he stayed there long term, and now he's over on Baal Tachon. Okay, so the Gemara asks, now, we have a machloikas about that point. If a person in a Beis HaKvaris says, I will be a Nazir, then you have a machloikas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish in Masech the Nazir on that. So you have Rabbi Yechanan says that Rish Lakish rather says, Loi Chayla Alei Nizirus may alter. Rish Lakish says that in fact Nizirus is not Chal on him right away. Therefore, so in fact, the Ran adds that that would mean, according to Rish Lakish then, that first of all, it means when he leaves the Beis HaKvaris, he is going to have to re-declare his Nazirus. And second of all, it would also mean, on the face of it, that he's not getting Malkus for it because he's not a Nazir. If he at that point, still in the Beis HaKvaris, eats grapes or drinks wine or cuts his hair or what have you, then he wouldn't be getting Malkus for it because he's not actually a Nazir yet.
What is
a Beis HaKvaris? A Beis HaKvaris, a cemetery. Oh. So if you say that loy chayla le nizirus may alter, then fine. What happens? He makes the neder of nizirus. Let's say, for example, with what the Ran says, that he doesn't have to be there shoulder shagolim. Let's say, for example, that if he stays there any amount of time where he should have left right away, then he's being over on Baal Ta'achar. Because as the Gemara is going to go on to say, he's delaying the fulfillment of his neder. He made a neder to be a nazir, and he's not. So, you know, he was in there on Rosh Chodesh. He made a neder that I'm going to be a Nazir. If he had not been in the Beis HaKvaris, or if he leaves right away, then fine, his Nazirus will start today, and it'll go for 30 days, and it'll finish next Rosh Chodesh. On the other hand, if he delays and stays in there a week, let's say, then when he goes out, his Nazirus is delayed by a week. So therefore, he's over on Baal Ta'achar. So now that works according to the Shlokish, that in fact, since he made the Nazirus in the Beis HaKvaris, then it doesn't count, it doesn't start yet, and therefore, it only starts when he actually goes out of the Beis HaKvaris and then re-declares the Nazirus. One second. Elo l'manda oma me'alter chai la'alei. But if you say like Rabbi Yechanan, that right away he is a Nazir, Nazirus is chal on him, mi ikka Baal Ta'achar, then how is there Baal Ta'achar? The fact is, regardless whether he's in the Beis HaKvaris or not at the time, his 30 days of Nazirus, so however long he declared for, minimum is 30 days, start from then. So what Baal Ta'achar is there? V'oid. And furthermore, you should realize that the machloikas Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish is not even really one way of understanding. The machloikas rather is that ha'omer ma'abar Rav Ashi, that ma'abar Rav Ashi says there in the Gemara in Nazir, chayla nazirus alei me'alter, that everybody would agree the nazirus does begin right away. B'chi pligi le'inin malkus pligi. The machloikas of Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish is strictly on the question: is he getting malkus? Is he getting Malkus during that time when he's in the Beis HaKvaris? Now, according to the Ran, that would mean Malkus for anything. If he eats grapes, for example, so he, while he was in the Beis HaKvaris, while he was in the cemetery, he said, I will be a Nazir. Later that day, he eats grapes and he's still inside the Beis HaKvaris. So now the Machloikas would be, is he getting Malkus for that? Has his Nazirus begun to the extent where he's chayav for eating grapes, and he's going to get Malkus for eating grapes. But his Nazirus is, one second, but his Nazirus is already Chal. He doesn't need to re-declare it once he leaves the Beis HaKvaris. Now, with that said, Tosfos discusses that actually, if everybody would agree that he does get Malkus for drinking wine or eating grapes or cutting his hair. The question is only, is he getting Malkus for being Tomei, given that already he's Tomei? A Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei Mes, of course, but he was already in a Beis HaKvaris, he's already Tomei anyway. So Tosfos says that Tosfos limits what Ma'abar Rav Ashi is saying, that we're talking about, they're arguing whether he would get Malkus. Tosfos limits it strictly to the question of whether he'd get Malkus for being Tomei, given that he's already Tomei. But if he does one of the other things, unlike the Ran, who says that according to this opinion, we'd say he's getting Malkus for all of them, the Machloikas would be if he's getting Malkus for all of them, Tosfos learns everybody agrees he'd be getting Malkus for most of them, and it's only about Tumas Mes that not.
So he becomes Tomei even if he doesn't touch a dead body?
Yeah, even if he doesn't touch a dead body, the fact that he's in a cemetery, he's near the Kvaris, is enough to make him Tomei, yeah.
Can he drink wine?
No, that's the thing. According to the Ran, we're saying if he were to drink wine at that point, while he's in the Beis HaKvaris, that is where Rabbi Yechanan and Rish Lakish would be arguing whether he's getting Malkus for that. According to Tosfos, they would both agree he gets Malkus. The question would be, is he getting Malkus for being Tomei? So therefore, so on the face of it, either way, everybody agrees, says Ma'a Baravashi, both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are agreeing that he's getting Malkus, that his Nazirus begins right away. Well, if his Nazirus begins right away, where's the Baal Ta'achar? He made a neder to become a Nazir. He became a Nazir right away. Where's the Baal Ta'achar? The answer is, Afilo Hochi, come like Baal Ta'achar. What?
Other conditions to become a Nazir of Daraisa? I mean,
of course, the conditions are Daraisa, sure. A person says, I will be a Nazir. He becomes a Nazir, yeah.
Yeah, so how can he be a Nazir without fulfilling the conditions to be a Nazir? If they're Daraisa.
I don't understand. He said, I'm going to be a Nazir. He becomes a Nazir right there on the spot. You can discuss the question, which of the things that he does now are going to make him Chayiv Malkus. According to the Ran, you have Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan, and Rish Lakish, whether he's Chayiv Malkus for any of them. Because even though he became a Nazir, the fact is, right now, his Nazirus is kind of in a state of suspension until he leaves the Beis HaKvaris. So you could argue that his Nazirus has begun. The 30 days of his Nazirus have begun, but you can't really say, maybe that you can't, at least according to Rish Lakish, we would say that maybe his Nazirus hasn't fully begun. And according to Tosfos, at least it hasn't begun insofar as the din that he's not allowed to become Tomei Mes, because he's already Tomei Mes anyway. So now the answer is, Afilo Hochi, Komle, Baal Ta'achar. The answer is, nevertheless, you can still say that he's over on the Isra of Baal Ta'achar of delaying his Neder, Mishum Dekoma Achar Nazirus to Tahara. Because the fact is, sure, he's a Nazir right now. But what is he going to have to do? Once he leaves the Beis HaKvaris, he's going to have to be sprinkled with Parah Adruma water. He's going to have to go through the whole process of being Tahar from Tumas Mes. And only then can his 30 days of Nazirus Tahara begin. So therefore, you can say that so now he's delaying that. He made a neder that he's going to be a Nazir, which means that he's going to have 30 days of Nazirus Tahara. And he's delaying that because now, instead of it beginning now, it's going to begin a week from now. So therefore, you can say that there was a case where a Nazir is over on Baal Ta'achar. And again, we don't know it explicitly from a pasuk by Nazir, because it never says any such thing by Nazir. But since it says Baal Ta'achar regarding Nidorim, specifically Nidorim for Korbanus or Tzedakah or whatever, then as we said, as we learned on Gimel Amud Aleph, then we have a hekish between Nidorim and Nazirus that teaches us that the same concept applies to Nazirus. So we've been spending all this time, we've been spending since the middle of Gimel Amud Beis, trying to figure out where's the case where a Nazir is going to be over on Baal Ta'achar. Good, now we have an example.
Can somebody say that he wants to be a Nazir for 60 days?
Yeah, a person can say he wants to be a Nazir for 60 days, sure.
But he only does 30 days.
No. Once he says 60 days, then it's 60 days, yeah. Now, so the Gemara continues, Amar Abashi, Hoyo V'chein, given that that's so, given that we're saying that any time a person is delaying his Nazirus Tahara, then it means he's over on Baal Ta'achar, then we can say Nazir Shetime Atzmei B'mezid, by the same logic then, if a Nazir made himself Tomei B'mezid during his Nazirus, so let's say, for example, so 10 days of his Nazirus passed, he made a regular Nazirus of 30 days, and he then deliberately became Tomei, then what happens is that he has to wait the 7 days to become Tahar. He shaves, he brings his Korbanos, and then he starts the Nazirus over again. And eventually he's going to have 30 days straight of Nazirus Tahara and bring his Korbanos. Well, Rav Ashi says, now that we've established that a person delays his Nazirus Tahara, then he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Well, by the same logic then, if he made himself Tomei B'mezid, over Mishum Baal Ta'achar, the Nazirus Tahara. By the same logic, he's over on Baal Ta'achar regarding his Nazirus Tahara. Yes, he's a Nazir the whole time. He's not delaying the fact that he is a Nazir because he already did this while he was a Nazir, but he's delaying ultimately that he's fulfilling the end of his Nazirus to shave his hair and to bring his Korbanos. And he's delaying that, and therefore he would be over on Baal Ta'achar. Now, in fact, because the Baal Ta'achar of Nazirus Tahara, meaning without even getting into what he needs to do at the end of Nazirus Tahara, the fact that he declared Nazirus requires him to have 30 days straight of Nazirus Tahara. And he's delaying that because now he's making that the 30 days are going to begin later on. Therefore, he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Again, here you would have the same machloikas of the Ran and the Rosh as you did before. Would we say that even if it was a short-term thing or only if it was after Shalosh Regalim? So according to the Rosh, again, according to the Ran, if the reason why we're specifically mentioning that he became Tomei B'mezid is because if he became Tomei B'shoigig, then you can't call him out on Baal Ta'achar because it was B'shoigig. As opposed to according to the Rosh, it comes out and he says so that it doesn't even really matter how he became Tomei. The Tumah itself could have been B'shoigig. The reason why we're using the expression that he was that he became tummy b'mezid, we don't mean that the initial tumah came about b'mezid, but that he remained tummy for three regalim b'mezid, that he delayed becoming tummy. That he delayed becoming tahor, rather, instead of going right away and getting sprinkled with haradruma water and bringing his korbanos tumah and starting his nezirus over. Instead, he chose to remain tameh for three regalim straight, where at that point he's over on baltacher. Then, therefore, we're saying that's when, so it wouldn't even matter, according to the Rosh, the fact that his original tumah was b'shoyin. Because right now we're focusing on the fact that he remained tameh for that amount of time. Which, by the way, now, when we're talking about over here him being over on Baal Ta'acher, now, that gets into the question, so the Ran uses the expression that he will get Malkus. So actually what it means is, for example, if he becomes Tomei B'mezid, he's going to be getting double Malkus, one for becoming Tomei, and one for, actually, he might even be getting three. We talked about before, we said on Gimel on the days, that whenever a Nazir violates one of the mitzvahs of his nazirus, besides that he was over the individual issue, he ate grapes, or he drank wine, or he became tamei, or what have you, he's also over on lo yachol dvarei. The pasuk says that a person is not allowed to violate his neder, because nazirus is a neder after all, and also now we're saying he's over on bal ta'acher. So now it would come out, for example, that in this case, our nazir, who became tamei b'mezid, is actually going to be in three sets of malchus, one for lo yachol dvarei, one for becoming tomei, which the Torah tells him he's not allowed to, and one for delaying his nazirus tara, because now he's delaying the 30 days that he had, or however long it is, that he's going to have to spend as a nazir tara.
He has to start over again?
He has to start over again also, that's true. But that's the point, in other words, because he's delaying when that starting over is, because he became tomei, and therefore delaying that now is 30 days of nazirus tara are going to be starting later on. Now, the interesting question gets into that, and then the Mefoshim discuss it over here. Since when does a person, the Rosh in particular discusses it, since when does a person get Malkus for a lav she'in b'maisa? Meila that he should get Malkus for l'yachol dvarei, okay, he's not allowed to become tamei, and he deliberately made himself tamei. He's getting Malkus for making himself tamei, which is a specific mitzvah for a nazir. Again, there's a maisa involved. The bal ta'achar seems to be a passive thing. He failed to become, so the Rosh, according to his shitta that we're talking about, that he delayed three regalim, how is he getting Malkus for that? That's a passive thing. And so he talks about that maybe we're talking over here, according to the opinion, that a person could get Malkus for a lav she'in b'maisa, or maybe it doesn't mean he's actually getting Malkus, it just means he's over on a lav, but there's no actual Malkus involved. There is an interesting Shagas Aryeh, though, where he discusses the possibility that sometimes you can have a person did a maisa before it was a maisa that itself was osur, but that itself counts as a maisa, and therefore he can get Malkus for it. So in our case over here, we were talking about here we're talking about where he made himself Tomei and is waiting. So okay, that's a separate matter. But let's say, for example, the case we said before, where he became Tomei, where he made himself a Nazir while he's in the Beis HaKvaris, the very fact that he went in there to begin with, that was a maisa. The very fact that he declared Nazirus in there is a Maisa. So even though now he's remaining in there and it's a passive thing, nevertheless, we can still give him Malkus on the grounds of Baal Ta'achar, because even though at this point it's a passive thing, but it started with an action that was done before he even declared Nazirus. And the Shagas Aryeh proves from various other Gemaras that such things are possible. You have a case also involving a Nazir. You have a case that's brought in Masecht and Nazir, that Amman brings it lahalacha, a Nazir during his Nazirus. At one point, he climbs into a box, and then he has somebody carry him into a Beis HaKvaris, and with his permission, they break open the box. So now he didn't do any Maisa, nevertheless, he's still Chayav Malkus. Why would he do it is a good question, but let's say he did it. So, you know, halacha has to deal with rare cases as well. Whatever reason he would do it, nevertheless, the point is he can be chayav malchus. So yes, you can have cases where a person is doing something, where a person has not actually done something, but he did something previously. This is how the Shagas Aryeh learns, and he's still chayav malchus for that. So again, so Rav Ashi is saying, by the same logic, if he made himself tomei, then also he's over mishum bal ta'acher of nezirus tara. Rav Acha, Breder of Ika, Omer Rav Acha, Breder of Ika says a slightly different version of it. Yes, he's over on Baal Ta'achar, but specifically what it is over Baal Ta'achar Tiglachto. It's not just the fact that he's in general, that he had to have 30 days of Nazirus Tahara and he's delaying that. There's also the fact that a Nazir has a particular mitzvah. Among the mitzvahs of a Nazir is that at the end of the 30 days or however long of his Nazirus, that he has to shave his hair and he has to bring certain korbanos. So now he's delaying the fulfillment of that mitzvah. He made a neder to become a nazir, which means that If everything had gone smoothly and there hadn't been any tumah, then 30 days from when he made the declaration, he would be fulfilling the mitzvah of shaving his hair. And now he's not doing that. Now he's doing that mitzvah later on. Therefore, there's Baal Tacha involved. Again, according to the Ran, no matter how long the delay was, according to the Rosh, we'd have to be talking about that there was a delay of 3 regalim. And he continues, now, you have a machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim in Masechta Nazir. What is needed in order for the Nazir's Nazirus to be over, in order for him to drink wine? The Pasuk uses the expression, and when it, after it describes the whole procedure that the Nazir has to do, it says, V'achar, and afterwards, Yishtah Nazir Yayin, after that, the Nazir can drink wine. After what exactly? How much of the procedure does he have to do to be mutter to drink wine? Rabbi Eliezer says everything. He has to shave and bring all the korbanos. And according to the Chachamim, you don't need all of them. As soon as he brings his korbanos, he can drink wine, even though he hasn't shaved his hair yet. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Needless to say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the tiglachas, the shaving, is ma'akev, and without that, he's still considered a nazir. So then, you would say that him delaying that, it means that he's delaying a mitzvah. Even if you say like the Chachamim that the shaving itself is not active, as long as he brought his korbanos, his nazirus is over, even if he hasn't shaved, nevertheless, the fact is mitzvah giloach mi'aloi mekayim. The fact is, they may say it's not active, but they still agree that there's a mitzvah to shave his hair, and he hasn't done it. Therefore, you have Baal Ta'achar. So that's another way of looking. Besides that, we said before, you can have it in general. He made a neder to be a nazir, which implies that he has to have a minimum of 30 days of nazirus tara. Now, aside from that, there's also the fact that he has implicit in that was a neder that he's going to cut his hair, that he's going to shave his hair after his nazirus, and now he's delaying the fulfillment of that mitzvah. So that's another angle of Baal Tacha.
What if somebody's in the middle of his
nazirus
and then he passes away?
If he's in the middle of his nazirus and he passes away, then nothing you can do. He's dead. That's all. So that's it. Yeah, no, nothing can be done. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues another one. Mazutra Rab Mori Omar. Here's a third thing that you can say he's over Baal Ta'achar, Korbanoisa. That he's over on Baal Ta'achar, that he's delaying bringing his Korbanos. Again, a Nazir at the end of his Nazirus, at the end of, let's say it was a standard Nazirus of 30 days, then he has to bring 3 Korbanos, an Oila, Shlomim, and a Chatos. He's delaying bringing them. Okay, so the Gemara asks, so if you're going to say that's the Baal Ta'achar, so Marzutra, in other words, is saying, forget about the fact that he was delaying the 30 days that he's supposed to be a Nazir. Forget about the fact that he's delaying his shaving. Fine, maybe those don't count as Baal Ta'achar, but he's delaying bringing his Korbanos, that's considered real Baal Ta'achar. But the Gemara's problem with that is, are you telling me then that you're going to learn? So what are we saying? We started the Sugya on Gimel Amar Aleph by bringing a Braisa that said that just like Baal Ta'achar applies to Nedarim, so also it applies to Nazirus. And now we've been working out how that is. Where is the Baal Ta'achar in Nazirus? If you're going to tell me that the Baal Ta'achar of Nazirus, according to Marzutra, is just strictly the fact that he's not bringing this Korbanos in time, well, then Mehasem Naftalei. Then we have a different place where we learn that from. We don't need a Hekish with Nedarim to teach us that. You have the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. There's a long sugi over there about the dinim of Baal Ta'achar, and it quotes over there a pasuk from Parshas Kisetze, which is where we learn the whole concept from. The pasuk starts by saying, "Kisidu neder laHashem alakecha loy sa'achar b'shamoy." You make a neder to Hashem, don't delay in paying it off. And the pasuk continues, "Ki dorish," and then the Gemara goes there in Rosh Hashanah and darshins the pasuk over there phrase by phrase is what it's talking about. And then you have the expression in the pasuk, "Ki dorish yidrashenu." It's how Hashem will demand it of you. Dorish yidrashenu, a double expression, demand he will demand it of you. Elu chatois v'ashamas. That comes to teach us that if a person delays bringing his chatos or his asham, then he's over on Baal Ta'achar. In other words, because given the pasuk begins, "Ki sido neder l'Hashem alakech." So we easily enough understand if a person makes a neder to bring a korban, person says, "I make a neder, I'm going to bring an olo or a shlomim or what have you," then yeah, we're saying that if he delays bringing it shalosh regalim, then he's over. What about a chatas or an asham? A person can't bring those b'neder and a dava. A person can't wake up one morning and say, "I want to bring a chatas." Has to be he was over on one of the 30 or 40 yisurim that make a person chayv a chatas. And same thing with an asham. So we need a special thing in the pasuk kidorish yidrashenu to teach us that it includes chatois and hashamos. Now the korbanos of a nazir include a chatos. So then, in that, automatically, if he's delaying his korbanos, then he's over on that reason alone. You don't need a hekesh. You don't need a special hekesh with nedarim to teach us this concept. How it is that we learn dorish yidrashenu to mean chatois and hashamos? A couple of different explanations. One of them being that Hashem demands, Rashi on the Gemara over there, Rosh Hashanah explains, Hashem will demand it in the sense that Hashem demands of you in the first place. You did such and such an Aveda, then your Hashem requires you to bring this korban for your kapara. Another point is also, we find by Chatos specifically, we find in Parashas Shemini, you have after Nadav and Avihu passed away, you have the whole episode over there where Ve'esira Chatos Doresh Dorash Moshe, that Moshe is seeking out what happened with the Chatos and found that it was burnt, and you have the whole discussion between him and Aaron about why that was done. So we see that the word Doresh is actually used in connection with a Chatos, and an Asham in general is compared to a Chatos in many ways. So therefore, we learn that Dorash Yidrashenu refers to Chatas and Asham. So automatically then, he's failing to bring us Chatas in time. He's over on Baal Ta'achar just for that reason alone. You don't need a Hekesh with Nedarim to teach us that. The answer is, the Gemara says, Ma'ud Tema, because without the Hekesh with Nedir, you would think, Chidushu Shechid Shetorah B'Nazir. You would think the Torah is telling you something special about a Nazir. Maybe there's something different about a Nazir's Korbanos that maybe you would think that Baal Ta'achar wouldn't apply to them, and therefore you need to be told that nevertheless it does from the Hekesh. Well, now we have to figure out my Chidush. What exactly is the Chidush that we're talking about by a Nazir? That we would think that there's some kind of leniency in there, that we wouldn't be like a regular chatos, and therefore that he maybe wouldn't be over on Baal Ta'achar, and we need a different pasuk, we need a hekesh to tell us otherwise. So what is that chidush? E lema delay mat bisle lachatos. Does it mean that if a person were to say, I am obligating myself to bring that it's impossible for a person to just say, I vow to bring a chatas nazir, because if he's not a nazir, then there's no chatas nazir to bring. So you could argue that maybe that's the kula when it comes to a nazir. Unlike, for example, a person can say, I volunteer to bring a shlomim or an oila. A person can't volunteer to say, I'm going to bring a chatas nazir, because unless he's a nazir, there's no chatas to bring. Well, the problem with that is, Hare chatas chelev, or you could say the same thing about any chatas, that she'en makpisa b'neder, that in a regular chatas, the nickname for a regular chatas is chatas chelev. The reason for that is because a couple of reasons for that. One is that the Rosh over here gives a reason, because you have 30 or 40 isurim that a person can be over on and is chayav achatas if he doesn't b'shogeg, but of all those isurim, chelev is the most common, or one of the most common, because you have a person has chelev around his house, shechts animals, you take out the chelev from them, and chelev, for that matter, is very easily confused with shuman, which is fat from the animal that is mutter to eat. So it's very likely, when you consider all the various isurim that a person can be chayav achatas for, which are listed at the beginning of the Masechta Krisos, out of all of them, chelev is likely to be the most common. We can differentiate. Chelev and shuman, you can differentiate them from each other. In particular, chelev peels off like a sheet. Shuman does not. The Gemara defines it in Cholin. Toisav krum v'nikla. There's like a membrane on it that's easily peelable off the thing. But still, once you have a piece of fat lying on your kitchen counter, you're not going to easily notice whether it was chelev or shuman. Right. So that's one reason. Another reason that Mephoshim give, the reason why we call a regular chatas chelev, is because actually you have them described back to back in the pasuk. You have in Parshas Vayikra, after it describes the shlomim and it describes the pieces that you take out of it as chelev that are offered on the mizbeach, it says kol chelev v'chol dom lo yisei chelu. And the next section in Parshas Vayikra talks about the various kinds of chatos. So therefore, that's another reason to call them chatas chelev. But we mean the same kind of thing. We mean the typical chatos, the kind that a person brings for eating chelev or breaking Shabbos or any of most, if not all, of the arayas or worshiping Avodah Zarah, whatever, any of those things a person does b'shogeg. So, chelev is a certain kind of fat from the animal. That's what we're saying. It's like a peel. Chalav is milk. That's something else. Yeah. So, chelev chol dom loy sechelev, and right after that, it starts talking about chatois in the Torah. So that's another reason to call a typical chatas chelev. Anyway, the point of the Gemara is that you think about it. What are you arguing? What are you trying to argue to me? A nazir's chatas is special because you can't just say, I'm going to bring a chatas of a nazir and it won't work because you're not a nazir. Well, by the same token, if you say, I'm going to bring a chatas plain, then it also doesn't work because you're not chayiv in that chatas. And yet, and we know from the word dorash yidrashenu that a person is chayiv in bal ta'acher if he doesn't bring his chatas in time. So what is there with the chidush? What are we trying to say? There's some kind of chidush regarding the chatas of a nazir that you would have thought it's not included in bal ta'acher, and therefore you need a special hekesh to teach us that it does, if it's the fact that you can't voluntarily declare a chatas nazir, you can't voluntarily declare any kind of chatas. Ela my chidush. Rather, we can say the chidush of a nazir is sakur ad chamini. You would think like this. Suppose a person says that I will be a nazir from grape seeds. Now, we know there's a lot of things that are also to a nazir. He's not allowed to eat grapes in general. He's not allowed to eat any grape products, which includes also the skins and the seeds of the grapes. The pasuk mentions those explicitly. Now, imagine if a person says, I'm a nazir, of course, he's also in all those things. What if he specifically says, I'm a nazir from grape seeds? Does that make him a nazir for all purposes? Or does that mean that it means, in effect, he's making a neder that he won't eat grape seeds, but he's mutter and all the other things? So if a person were to say, Hareini nazir after the minchatzen, have a nazir lakol. The fact is he becomes a nazir for everything. Now, it's one thing you have, we're going to learn Masechta Nazir a few months from now, Bez Hashem. If, let's say, a person were to say, I'm a nazir from groigris, from dried figs, that's different, because dried figs are not b'chlal, one of the things that are also to a nazir, so you can't say that him saying nazir min a groigris means anything. But if he says nazir min a chautzen, the fact is, a nazir is also in grapes. Therefore, we can say that it includes not only that, but it includes all the other things that a nazir is also in as well. No, because grape seeds are also to him and figs are not. A regular nazir, a regular standard nazir, he can eat as many dried figs as he wants, but he can't eat grape seeds because grape seeds come from grapes. And the Torah outlaws him anything that comes from grapes. So therefore, so if he were to say, Harin nazir afilam and achartzen, have a nazir lakol, the fact is he is a nazir as far as everything. So maybe you would think, therefore, that the nazir has a special feature that therefore maybe he wouldn't be oivran bal ta'acher for delaying his korban. Kamash malan. Therefore, we need to be told via the hekesh that he is still chayev. Well, the question is, the Gemara has two problems with that. First of all, hanichal amanda omar ki nazir min chayetzan have a nazir lakol. Now that works out according to the chachamim, who say that when a person is a nazir, that if he says, I'm nazir from chautzan, then he is a nazir for everything. We don't divide it up. Once he said he's also in one of the things that a nazir is also in, then he's also in all of them. So then we can say that, yeah, there's a chidush in that. Now, usually, in other words, think of it. If a person were to say, for example, I'm making a neder, grape seeds are also to me, you wouldn't say it's automatically also, he's also to eat grapes and drink wine and so forth. Of course not. It's just a regular neder. He's only also to eat grape seeds. So over here, we have some kind of chidush. We're saying, he says, I'm a nazir from grape seeds, not a neder that grape seeds are also to me, but I'm a nazir on grape seeds. And we say all of them become not only grape seeds, but also grapes themselves and so forth become also to him. So you could argue that's the chidush. Fine. According to the chachamim, that is in fact the din. But according to Reb Shimon, a person is not a nazir unless he swears off all the things. Not mean that he has to list them and he has to list them. Reb Shimon will agree. If a person says, I'm a nazir, he's a nazir from all of them. But Reb Shimon would hold that if he says, I'm a nazir from grape seeds, then yes, it means he's only asked grape seeds to himself. He hasn't become a nazir as far as anything else.
So if he says he's just going to be a nazir for grape seeds,
then according to Reb Shimon, it means he's only also to eat grape seeds. Because then he's not a nazir. In other words, Reb Shimon will say he's not a nazir. He's just, he made a neder that grape seeds are also to him.
However long
he said. If he didn't give a time limit, then it would be indefinitely. If he gave a time limit, then he gave a time limit. So first of all, according to Reb Shimon, then you don't have a good way of explaining. According to him, then there's no chidush in a nazir relative to any other neder. But
why is the chidush to Reb Shimon?
No, according to Reb Shimon, there is no chidush. That's the point.
Why can't you say the chidush is that nazir is not neder? And still, like...
A nazir is a neder. There's no question nazirus is a type of neder.
Nazir is not like saying, I'm nazir, I'm
not. No, but that's the point. In other words, if he says, harini nazir min a grogris, that's something else. Then you can say it as a regular neder. But if he says, harini nazir min a chatsani, according to Reb Shimon, because according to Reb Shimon, in order for him to be a Nazir, it has to be that he's willing to accept all the restrictions of a Nazir. He said, I want to be a Nazir only from grape seeds. Then according to Reb Shimon, that's not Nazirus.
He wasn't Matis Atzmei B'Dover
No. Matis Atzmei B'Dover Anidr, we're going to talk about later in the parak. That would mean, Matis Atzmei B'Dover Anidr means that he says, for example, grape seeds will be also to me like a carbon. He wouldn't even say the word carbon. At most, you're going to say it would be a yad, like we discussed before, and like we're going to start discussing on Amud Beis. But according to Reb Shimon, it's not enough to ask him the rest of the things of the Nazir because he mentioned only one particular thing. Whereas according to the Chacham, he's also automatically in all of them because he used the word Nazir as opposed to the word neder. Everybody would agree. If he only said, I'm making a neder that Gruger saw also to me, then yeah, of course, that he'd be also. I mean, if he said that only Chatzanim, that only grape seeds are also to me, of course, he'd be also only in those. But if he said the word Nazir, so the Chachamim focus on the word Nazir, and Reb Shimon says, the fact is, yeah, he may have used the word Nazir, but the fact is, he also mentioned only one particular thing.
One of these says you only need a Nazir for grape seeds, and for a certain amount of time, in that time, he ate grape seeds.
Well, according to Reb Shimon, everybody agrees he's going to be over on some kind of neder. According to Reb Shimon, only if he ate grape seeds. According to the Chachamim, also if he eats grapes or drinks wine, he's also going to be over.
On the
Isurim of a Nazir, according to the Chachamim, he's a Nazir. So first of all, according to Reb Shimon, then there's no chiddush in a nazir over any other kind of net. V'oid hai chiddush l'chumru. Second of all, anyway, you're saying this chiddush, even if you want to say according to the Chachamim, this is a chiddush l'chumra. You want to find you're saying he made a neder mention one particular thing, grape seed, and automatically he's becoming also in many different things. You want to try to find a kula. You want to try to find why Balta Acher, which does apply to a regular chattas, you want to say it should not apply to the chattas of a nazir. That means you need to find some kind of chiddush in a nazir that's the kula, not the chumra. So that the whole thing doesn't really work.
I understand that question. I mean, the context.
The context is we're trying to find, we're saying, according to Marzutra Breder Amori, we're saying the Balta Acher of a nazir is that he's delaying bringing his karbonis. So the question is, we have a different pasuk that we say that if a person delays bringing his korbanos, he's over on Balta Acher. So why do we need a special limud by a nazir? And so we're trying to say because a nazir has some kind of chidush. But if we want to find a chidush by a nazir that would explain that, why we need a special din, why we need a special limud to say that he's over on Balta Acher, you want to find something in a nazir like the kula compared to other nedarim, not something like the chumra compared to other nedarim.
Here we find
a chumrah. Because according to the Chachamim, if he says, I'm a nazir from Chatzanim, then he's a nazir also from grapes, grape peels, and wine, and so on and so forth. So Ella, rather, let's answer like this. My chidush, what can we say is the chidush by a nazir? The sacred Chamina, you would have thought like this. Now, like this, a nazir has to bring three korbanos. He's bringing an oila, a chatas, and a shlom. Now, what happens if he only brings one of those korbanos at that time? Still, he can already shave his hair and his nazirus is over. Again, we said according to the Chachamim, the shaving is actually not even ma'akiv, just bringing the korbanos. But even within that, we're not saying he has to bring all three korbanos. If he were to bring one of the korbanos and shave his hair, then that's fine. And he doesn't have to restart his nazirus. Now you have a din. We're going to learn in Masechta Nazir months from now, Be'ez Hashem, that if a nazir's hair was shaved during his nazirus when it wasn't supposed to be, then he has to wait another 30 days before he doesn't necessarily lose the days that he had before. Unlike if he became tamei, but you do have a din. He has to have at least 30 days growth of hair before he's going to do the tiglachas tara, before he's going to shave at the end of his nazirus. So you have a scenario that it describes over there. Let's say he was a nazir for 20 days so far out of 30. And then his hair was shaved, and it doesn't matter whether it was Ba'onis or Barotzen, even though you have a case where the Yehuhu listim, that robbers grabbed a hold of him and shaved his hair. Nevertheless, he still has to wait, besides the 10 days left of his Nazirus, he's going to have to wait an additional 20 days before he can bring his Korbanos. Now, if let's say his original Nazirus had been for a year, let's say, and he got his hair shaved halfway through it, no problem. He's not losing anything. He's still got at least 30 days before his Tiglachas, and that's fine. But the rule is you always have to have 30 days to glach. You always have to have 30 days. The point being, in other words, we're saying that if he brought one of his korbanos, now let's say he hadn't brought any of his korbanos. Let's say he went to the Beis Hamikdash, shaved his hair without having brought any of his korbanos. That would be the equivalent of the din of where his hair was shaved by listim in the middle, where now he needs another 30 days. But what we're saying is if he brought at least one of his korbanos, together with his shaving, then that's already yotze. Now the shaving counts as a teglachas tara. He doesn't need to regrow his hair and shave it again later.
What does it mean by hair? It means his head?
It means the hair of his head, yeah. So therefore, so that, so no, we're not talking about the rest of his body, just the
shave. We can shave him.
Yeah, yeah. So now that's a chiddush because like this he is after all chayev three korbanos. So usually you would have thought that he's chayev in all three. Now we're saying that he's able to get away right now with only one. So therefore that can be considered a kula. So you would say that without the hekesh, maybe you would say given that he doesn't have to bring the other two right then when he shaves, maybe he shouldn't be over on bal ta'acha either. And therefore we need a limud to say that he is. Kamash Malan, so that is a loy lever. So since that loy lever, loy lever, alay mishum bal ta'acher, bival ta'acher, maybe he shouldn't be over on bal ta'acher, given that he has that special kula, that even though he said, so let's consider the scenario. The guy said, I'm going to be a nozer. So he's a nozer for 30 days. Implicit in that is that at the end of it, he's going to bring three korbanos. But what are we saying? On the 30th day, he shows up at Bes Mikdash with only one of the korbanos, and right now they'll go and bring that korban on his behalf, and he'll shave his hair. So if we're saying that even though implicitly he said to bring two other korbanos, the fact is he's not bringing them right now, and that's fine, as the zeros is still over. So you would think that maybe he's not over on Bal Ta'achar on the other two. Therefore, we need a limud to be told that nevertheless he is over on Bal Ta'achar. Again, according to the Ran, we would say he's over right away, and according to the Rosh, if he delays to be rebuilt.
Is there a certain amount for he has to shave roots?
No, there's everything. He has to shave his entire head. There can't be even two so hairs left.
Can you repeat the last thing? We lost you.
Yeah, so what we're saying is the guy made a neder that he's going to be a nozer. So now at the end of it, he has to bring three korbanos. But we're saying right now he brings only one korban, then that's it. Right now his yotza and his nezirus is over. So maybe you would think that the other two korbanos, big deal. If he doesn't bring them today, he'll bring them tomorrow. If he doesn't bring them tomorrow, he'll bring them next week. Given that his nezirus is over anyway, we're allowing him to say his nezirus is over. So maybe Bal Ta'achar doesn't apply to those korbanos. We're saying that no, his nezirus is over. Granted, we don't make him reshave. We don't make him keep his nezirus any longer or anything. Nevertheless, if he's delaying bringing those korbanos beyond a certain amount of time, right away, according to the Ran, or after three regalim, according to the Rosh, then he's over on Bal Ta'achar. That is the chiddush that we're saying. That was Mazutra's point. When Mazutra started by saying that where is the Bal Ta'achar with a nazir, the fact that he's delaying his korbanos, that's the reason why we need a separate limud for that, why we can't learn it from the general fact that korbanos are subject to Bal Ta'achar, because here we have the chiddush that his nezirus is over even without him bringing all of his korbanos.
So this case is only when he's delaying a long time?
So that's the thing. According to the Ran, he would be over very soon because he should be bringing them as soon as possible. Right. According to the Rosh, only if he delayed Shalosh Regalim. Just like any other case of Bal Ta'achar. Mm-hmm. The Ran would say like this. The Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah over there, even though usually you have Shalosh Regalim, but when it comes to Tzedakah, the Gemara says they were in Rosh Hashanah in the Sugya of Bal Ta'achar, he's over right away because there are always Aniyim available. You can't say Shalosh Regalim. The whole point is, when it comes to Korban, it's fine. Hashem is not matriach you in the middle of the winter or in the middle of whatever to schlep to the Beis Mikdash and bring your Korban. So fine, Hashem gives you a break and allows you going to be coming to the Beis Mikdash for one of the Regalim anyway. Bring it over there. And if you hadn't brought it by three times, then you're over on Bal Ta'achar. But the Gemara says there, Tzedakah is different because you don't have to go to the Beis Mikdash for it anyway. So therefore, the Ran holds that over here, the fact that he's not bringing his korbanos in time after his nezirus is already, he's over on Bal Ta'achar, even if it's the next day. Because what do you mean? You should have brought it yesterday when you're finishing your nezirus. Mm-hmm. According to the Rosh, we would say it's like other korbanos and only Shalosh Regalim. To answer your question, Pinchas, the nazir has to shave his entire head. He can't even leave two hairs, but that's more a topic for Masechta Nazir. No, so when we get to Masechta Nazir, then we'll get into those details.
So he's in the middle of his nezirus.
If he shaves part of his head, then I think he can still continue his nezirus, but I don't remember. We'll talk about it in Masechta Nazir. I think as long as there are at least Shtei Sairus left. But right now, let's focus on what we have over here. Okay. So all of that is one. So the point is, we've now found one chiddush in the halachas of nazir compared to other nedarim. In other words, there's no question. For example, if a person were to make a neder that I'm going to bring three korbanos on such and such a date, a person makes a neder tomorrow is Hey Cheshvan, I'm going to bring three korbanos on Hey Cheshvan. Well, if he doesn't bring them on Hey Cheshvan, no question, he's over on his neder right away. So now, when the person made a neder a month ago on Hey Tishrei and said, I'm going to be a nazir for 30 days and then I'm going to bring my korbanos, implicit is that, in that, is that he's going to bring three korbanos at the end of his nazirus, which comes out on Hey Cheshbon. Well, what happens in the event he only brings one? And we're saying, nevertheless, his nazirus is over. The chidush is that we still hold him to Baal Ta'achar for the other two. That's the point that we're saying. Now, so that's one way of understanding. The Iboy Seima, another way you could say,
that's a chumra, that's not a kula.
No, that's a chumra, that's a kula. That will say, the kula is that his nazirus is over on Hey Cheshvan, even though he only brought one of his korbanos. Nevertheless, we're still saying that Baal Ta'achar applies just as it would to any other korbanos. But for that, we need a separate limud. We wouldn't have realized that otherwise.
What does it mean? A kula?
You can say
what?
Could say it's still a kula. The real the chumra. If it was a real kula, you would say he's not Baal Ta'achar. And he
no, the
have
point
to bring
is,
the rest.
Once we establish that there exists the kula, we would have thought that Baal Ta'achar does not apply, and we need a separate limud. We need a whole separate hekesh to teach us that it does. So yes, in the end, it applies, but not because of the regular statement of Baal Ta'achar that you learn from the words kidorish yidrashenu, but rather from something else. That is the point. The Iboy
is because of the hekesh.
Because of the hekesh, yeah. And the Gemara says, "V'iboy seima." Another way you could look at it, another way you could look at the chidush of a nazir, my chidush. Another way you could look at the chidush of a nazir, mishum de la matpisei b'neder. We can go back to what we said before. The fact is that a person cannot say voluntarily, "I will bring a chatas of a nazir and be chayiv in a chatas of a nazir," because the fact is he's not a nazir. Ur v'had kapash lo chatas chaylev. So you were asking, isn't that true of any chatas? Why are you mentioning it specifically by chatas nazir? The difference is you could say chatas chaylev ka'asu lo chapara, because you can argue a chatas chaylev, a typical chatas, comes for kapara. The person ate chaylev or broke Shabbos or did any of 30 or 40 other isurim, and now he needs kapara, so now he's bringing a chatas for that. So therefore, so now, since it's coming for kapara, then Hashem is particular with him. What are you doing? Delaying your kapara for so long, you better bring it as soon as possible. You better bring it within Shalosh Rebalim. And therefore, and if he doesn't, then if he doesn't, he's over on Baal Ta'achar. Chatas nazir, the Mai Asya. But you can say, on the other hand, chatas nazir, it's not coming for any particular avera. It's a gzeiras hakosuv that a nazir at the end of his nazirus has to bring a chatas. Now, the Ran points out, we are going to have later in the perek, we are going to have a discussion. There is an opinion of Rabbi Lazar HaKapper that says that a nazir is a choite in that he deprived himself of wine. There is an expression in the pasuk by a nazir that says, v'chiper olav masha chota ala nafesh. That the Kohen has to make a kapara, has to make an atonement for him, that he sinned with a nefesh. Now, one way of understanding what that means is the context of that pasuk is talking about where a nazir became tameh, and so he did wrong by becoming tameh. So therefore, the Kohen has to help him achieve kapara for that. But Rabbi Lazar HaKapper says, never mind that, even a nazir who never became tameh at all during the nazirus is still was a choite in the first place by making a neder of nazir and depriving himself of wine, and therefore for that he needs a certain degree of kapara. Nevertheless, the Ran explains, fine, that is true. According to Rabbi Lazar HaKapper, that's true. Nonetheless, though, that's not really the kind of chatas that a person, that's not the kind of avera a person would bring a chatas for. So after all, a regular person, or if a person makes a regular neder to not drink wine, he's certainly not bring a chatas at the end for the fact that he made such a neder. So therefore, we can still say the fact is it's still a gzeiras hakosuv. It's not a choite gomer, is the expression that An uses. So the korban is not primarily coming for kapara. So given that it's not coming for kapara, you would have thought that maybe he shouldn't be over on Baal Ta'achar, big deal, so he's not bringing it in time. A chatas chaylev, okay, it's a big deal, he doesn't bring it in time. What do you mean? You ate chaylev, and now you think that it's so unimportant that you're delaying bringing your korban? I'm imposing on you a mitzvah of Baal Ta'achar. But a nazir is not bringing it to begin with for kapara. He's just bringing it as gzeiras hakosev at the end of his nazirus. So therefore, you could argue that maybe it's not so bad if he delays it. Therefore, you need a hekesh to tell us that nonetheless he is. Okay, so the Gemara asked about a chatas yoledes delay asul chapara. What about, you could say the same thing as far as the chatas. You have another case of chatas that's brought without doing an aveda. A woman gave birth, she has to bring a chatas, she has to bring an oila and a chatas. And that's not coming for kapara either, but over Allah mishum Baal Ta'achar. And if she were to delay bringing that, she would be over on Baal Ta'achar. Now again, the Ran points out, there is a Gemara in Nida, where Reb Shimon's Talmidim asked him, "What's the logic? Why does a Yoledes have to bring a Chatas?" And he answers, "Because very often when a woman is in labor and she's suffering terrible pains, she'll make a shvua on the spot there. I'm never going to have relations with my husband again." Well, in the end, she does. After a while, she has the baby. She and her husband are happy, and over time, the memory of that recedes, and she goes back to normal relations with her husband. And therefore, Reb Shimon says that's why the Torah imposes a Chatas on her. Still, though, again, the Ran points out, first of all, again, it's not really like that. The fact of the matter is that even the Ran says, even according to Reb Shimon's reason, he would agree. Let's say the woman knows for a fact she never made such a shvua. Nevertheless, she still has to bring a chatas like any other yoledes. So it's not truly a chatas that's coming for kapara the way other chatoris are. A person eats chelev or breaks Shabbos or what have you, and they bring a chatas, it's for kapara. Without that, they have an avera hanging over their head, and now they bring a chatas to help clean it up. A yoledes, you don't have that. Even if you're going to say that the reason is because typically a woman makes a shvua under such circumstances, but not all of them do, and still the fact is all of them have to bring a korban. So therefore, you see that the chatas of a yoledes is not for kapara per se, and nevertheless, if she delays it, she's over on Baal Tacher. Which Tosfos actually asks the question, Taka, where do we know that from? Maybe indeed we should say that she's not over on Baal Tacher, but the Gemara is taking it as a given that she is. Once we said before that chatoris fashamas, then we assume it means all kinds of chatas and asha.
How can you consider that what you call a shvua for a woman who's in labor,
yeah,
really, how can that be considered a shvua? She's in labor. She's in tremendous pain.
That's true. And Reb Shimon is not saying that it's actually considered a binding shvua. He would agree that it would be considered what we're going to talk about later on the Masechta, about Nidrei Oinsin. You have a similar kind of thing with Shavuos Oinsin. It's true. It's not technically binding. Nevertheless, the fact is that there still is a degree of Shavuah over here that she was over on, and therefore Reb Shimon says that's an appropriate reason for her to bring the carbon. But it's true. Even Reb Shimon would agree that it's not a binding Shavuah. Yossi, to answer your question, the Tosfos is not arguing with the Gemara. Of course not. They can't. They're wondering where is the Gemara getting it as a given that a Yoledes is Chatas, she would be over on Baal Tacher. Maybe we would say, in fact, because of the logic that the Gemara is using here, maybe only Chatoris that come for Kapara are you over on Baal Tacher, or the one of a Nazir again, because we have the Hekesh. Where is the Gemara getting the assumption that you would be over on Baal Tacher for the one of a Yoledes? Nevertheless, the Gemara seems to be doing just that. Anyway, so the point is the same way. As a chatas yoledes, you're over on Baal Ta'achar, even though it's not coming for kapara. So you could say the same thing about a chatas nazir. So again, why do we need a hekesh to teach us about that?
Every time a
woman has a baby. Yeah. So the Gemara answers how he kashal yol the meichah b'kodshin, because the difference is, it's true that the chatas of a yoledes is not coming for kapara per se, but it makes it possible for her to eat kodshim, which she wouldn't be able to without that. And therefore, so what it means is now, so the Ran points out, for example, now it enables her to eat the Korban Pesach, where after all, she has a mitzvah to eat it. So therefore, you can say that Baal Ta'achar applies to it, because if she delays it, then it's preventing her from fulfilling a mitzvah of eating a Korban, such as the Korban Pesach. In fact, there are Rishonim who learn that maybe even the same way we say in many places in Shas, we say Koyanim Oichlam Abaylam Meskaprim, that the Koyanim eat the korban and the owners thereby achieve their kapara, and the Koyanim have a mitzvah, in fact, to eat their parts of the kodshim. There are Rishonim who learn that actually the Bailam also have a mitzvah to eat their parts of the kodshim as well, if nothing else, in order to prevent the korban from becoming noisel, in order to prevent it from being left over and having to be burnt. Anyway, the point is that the chatas yoledes is enabling her to accomplish that mitzvah, whereas the chatas nazir is not. First of all, we said that even if he doesn't bring his korbanos right away, as long as he brought one of them, then his nazirus is over. But second of all, also, the fact is, what are the korbanos of a nazir enable him to do? They enable him to drink wine. Well, there's no particular mitzvah in drinking wine. Even you're going to say, what about kiddush and havdalah? Those are derabanan, the Meiri explains. So therefore, there's no mitzvah d'oraisa that a nazir's korban enables him to do that he wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. Therefore, you could argue that it's different than a chatas yoledes. So, okay, so that's another way that we can understand the chiddush of the chatas of a nazir, that even though that we're saying, unlike most chatos, unlike all other chatos, which either are meant for kapara, or that they enable a person to do a mitzvah that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to, a chatas nazir is neither. It's not for kapara per se, because he hasn't really done an aveira that would make him chayev a chatas. He's also, it's not enabling him to do any mitzvah daraisa that he couldn't have done otherwise. Nevertheless, So therefore, we would have thought there's a chiddush in it. Therefore, maybe Baal Ta'acha wouldn't apply to it. And therefore, we need a hekesh with Nedarim to teach us that nevertheless it does. Okay, so now we've covered the various possibilities of how a Nazir is able to be over on Baal Ta'acha. So again, we had at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, we had one possibility according to one way of understanding the Gemara over there. That the case was, he said, I'll be a nazir when I want to, and then if he delays actually wanting to, according to one explanation, that was one such case, and according to Tosfos, it wasn't necessarily. Then we said Rav Acha by Yaakov's case, where he became a nazir while he's in a Beis HaKvaris, while he was Tomei, and he went through the ins and outs of that. We had related to that, Rav Ashi says, if in the middle of his nazirus, he becomes Tomei, then he's also over on Baal Ta'acha. And then we had yet another one. We had Mazutra, which was what we just spent the last omer discussing, which is that he's delaying bringing his korbanos. Okay. Now let's go back to another point from the Braisa on Gimel Amud Aleph when we discussed the hekesh between Nedarim and Nazir, and let's analyze that. Omamai, we said in the Braisa, Uma Nedarim Ha'av Mei for Nidre Bitoi or Baal Mei for Nidre Ishtoi. We said just like by regular Nedarim, a father can veto his daughter's Nedarim, he can cancel his daughter's Nedarim, and a husband can cancel his wife's Nedarim, which we're going to learn about those details. We're going to learn about the details of all those dinim at great length in the last two prakim of Or Masechta. Af Nezirus, Af Mei for Nezirus Bitoi, or Baal Mei for Nezirus Ishtoi. So it is with Nezirus also, that a father can cancel his daughter's Nezirus, or a husband can cancel his wife's Nezirus. Well, the question is, Lomali Hakesha. Again, why do you need a Hekesh to teach us that? Tesi b'mamotzinu min Nedarim. We can learn it by a plain mamotzinu from Nedarim. The same way as by a regular Neder, the same way as a regular neder, a woman makes a neder, let's say that I'm not going to eat fruit, and her father or her husband can cancel it. The same way, he or she's saying, I'm not going to eat, in effect, she's saying, I'm not going to eat grapes, and I'm not going to cut my hair, and so forth. So therefore, automatically, he should be able to, therefore, we should learn from Mamotzinu that he should be able to cancel it. So when a girl's nedarim are can be valid from when she's 11 years old, we have to ask her during the year between when she's 11 and 12, do you know what a neder is? Do you know who a neder is addressed to? If she says yes, and the same thing with a boy between 12 and 13, if they know l'shem min nadarnu, l'shem min yikdashnu, then their neder is a valid neder. The father has the right to cancel his daughter's nedarim until she's a begeris, until she's six months after her bas mitzvah.
But how does she make?
We're going to learn the dinim of how this works in the last two prakim of Amasechta. So right now, let's just take it as a given that a father has certain rights over his daughter's nedarim, and a husband has certain rights over his wife's nedarim. Specifically, that under certain circumstances, which we'll learn in great detail towards the end of Or Masechta, then he has the right to veto them. He has the right to say, Mufer lich, this neder is canceled, and the neder is no longer in effect.
Isn't this
talk also about Barshas Matas? It talks about the place where the Torah talks about it, yeah. So, again, the question is that a mamotzinu from the Dorim would be enough to teach us that. Not even really a mamotzinu per se. It is a type of neder, after all. Now, the Ran mentions an interesting point over here. When we started the sugya, we discussed that we said that there's two things. We said that the hekesh between the Nedarim and Nazir is teaching us first we started saying that we learned from that the concept of yodas. The whole concept that we started discussing, that it's possible to declare a neder with a yad without saying a full declaration, just by saying, for example, we had in the Mishnah where one person says to the other, Mudrani Mimcha, I am under a neder from you. And even though he didn't use the word isur, nevertheless, that's enough to make it considered a neder, because that's considered a yad. It's a partial declaration, which is now, we're going to start discussing it soon in the Gemara. The same way the Brai said, the same thing applies to Nezirus. Now, so the Ran says, there we didn't ask why we need a hekesh, why we can't just learn it from Mamotzinu. The answer is, the Ran answer is because when a person declares a Nezirus with a yad, then it makes them chayiv malchus. Now, you can't say that you should learn Malchus from a Mamotzinu. Ein oinshin min adin. You can't punish somebody based on a logical thing like that, like a mamotzino, because a mamotzino is very easily shlugged up, as opposed to a hekesh. Once you have a hekesh, then you can't really shlug it up. So therefore, that's a solid reason to say. So we need a solid thing like a hekesh to be able to make a person chayev malchus. But here we're talking about the fact that the husband or the father has the wife has the right to cancel to cancel her nedarim. So for that, a mamotzino ought to be enough. So why do we need a hekesh for it? The answer is.
An example of a
mamatzinu is a very weak thing. A mamatzinu just means it's another name for mamatzinu is binyan ab. We say because the Torah tells us something in this scenario, then in this din, then therefore we can apply it to similar din. But a mamatzinu is very easily shlugged up. All we need to do is find the difference between one between this din and the other one. The Gemara will often say mala. The Gemara will often say that we learn this from this with a mamatzinu, and then the Gemara says mala. What is there? But on the other hand, what can you say? Mala this, chicane this. What is there? On the other hand, this particular din has this particular feature that the other one doesn't have. And there you go. The mamatzinu is gone. Unless we start finding at tzad hashava. We start whatever we can start salvaging it. But a hekesh is a much stronger thing. Once you have a hekesh that the Torah has put two dinim together, it's very hard to shlug that up. So that's what the Ran is saying. To make somebody chayav malchus, for a person to be... Now remember, we said that yodes work by both nedarim and nazirus. By nedarim, a person can say mudrani mimcha, and that's enough to be considered that there's a neder where he's not allowed to have hanah from the other guy's food. The same thing by a nazir. A person can see a nazir walking by and say the word ehei, I will be, and we understand that to be a yad, meaning I want to be like him, and he becomes a nazir. And he's going to be chayev malchus daraisa. If now he's going to be a nazir daraisa, and he's going to be chayev malchus if now he breaks nazirus.
Just to think today in Zman that someone can say hey on somebody with long hair and then since applicable that being another maybe today just is the vogue.
Well, maybe, but here we're talking about he actually sees a nazir walking by. Yeah, a person walking nowadays with long hair isn't generally not a nazir. Yeah. The truth is it's not so simple anyway. We're gonna learn in Masech the nazir, maybe there needs to be more than that. Maybe he needs to say more than a hey, maybe he needs to also be holding on to his hair at the time. We'll get to it in Masech the nazir in a few months, but anyway, yeah.
A yad
means a partial declaration. Oh. So we're saying that a person does not, the full declaration of saying a neder would be to say, this object is also to me like a carbon. But now, even if he leaves out some details of that, then that's still, we're going to talk about soon in the Gemara, we're going to start talking about that thing. So the point is, in other words, that so again, we have by nedarim, that by regular nedarim, the Torah tells us that a father and a husband have rights of hafara. So by automatically, a mamatzinu should tell us the same thing by nazir. Why do you need a hekesh for it? So the answer is dilma gabe nedarim hu demefer, because you could argue that by nedarim, this regular nedarim, there's more of a reason for the father to be able to be mefer or the husband mishum de la isla kitzusa, because there's not necessarily an end to it. A person makes a neder; it can be an open-ended thing. Person says, a neder, these fruit are also to me like a korban, that could be for the rest of their life. So therefore, you could argue that maybe the Torah says that the Torah gives the father or the husband the right to be able to cancel that. Avo gabe nezirus de isla kitzusa, but when it comes to nezirus, which has a limit, generally speaking, if a person says, I'm a nazir, without specifying an amount of time, it's 30 days. So therefore, the stam nezirus lamad yom, plain nezirus is 30 days. Eimalai, maybe we would say, no. Look, in 30 days, your wife or your daughter is anyway her nezirus is going to be over and she's going to be bringing her karbanos. Don't rush to go and be made for it. Look, it's going to be over in a few weeks anyway. So maybe not. Kamash malan, and therefore we need to be told that he still has the right to be made for it. Actually, the Or Sameach has a very interesting explanation of it, where he says the other, what the Gemara may mean is the other way around. This is what we just said, is how the Ran and all the other Rishonim explain it. But the Or Sameach says maybe it can mean the other way around. He says, you know, you have it later on in the Masechta, when we get to this point about Hafara, we're going to talk about over there. Unlike now, if you go to a Rav to be Matur Neder, then when he is Matur Neder, it's considered as though the Neder never existed. On the other, it's like he's oikra neder miikra. He uproots it as if it never existed. On the other hand, when a husband or a father cancels the woman's nedarim, it's called megas gayas. It's like he's cutting it off. Up till now, the neder was in effect, but now he's cutting it off and it ceases to exist. There's an afkamina, for example. Let's say the person was over on the neder beforehand. Imagine, for example, a person made a neder that fruit is also to him, and then he ate some of that fruit, and then he went to the rav and was matur neder. since the rub is oikar neder mikra, he's not going to get malchus for it. On the other hand, if a woman in the same scenario, if her husband or her father canceled the neder, the fact is, till now, the neder was in effect. Therefore, she'd be getting malchus for having been over it beforehand.
So anyway, you get another on something and he breaks, you can just go to the rub.
No, not necessarily should the rub be involved with that. The rub should very well tell him, you know what, you did wrong, and take your lumps, take your malchus, and then we can talk about mimata neder. But the fact is, you know, yeah. I mean, we can't order a malchus nowadays, but yeah. Anyway. The point is, therefore, the Ursameach argues, given that, as we said before, Nazirus has to be a minimum of 30 days, maybe you could argue Fakir. How could the father have the ability after, let's say, for example, he finds out about the neder 10 days after it took effect, where then he has until Shtia of that day to cancel the neder, but how could he do that? A Nazirus is not less than 30 days. Only 10 days have passed of it so far. Maybe we should require that 30 days of it pass before he's able to be made for it. And therefore, we need the chiddush to be told that it's not so. As opposed to a regular neder, there's no minimum length of a neder. He learns that when the Gemara says that there's no kitsusa, means not like the Ran and everybody else says that it means there's no maximum length of a neder. There's no minimum length. A person can say a neder that this food is also to me only today. But a neder, a nezirus, there's no such thing. There's no nezirus less than 30 days. So you would think that maybe he doesn't have the right to cancel it unless at least 30 days have passed. And therefore, Kamash Malan, therefore being told that nevertheless he has the ability to do that.
It doesn't go away by Hataras
Nedarim. Hataras Nedarim is something else, but here we're talking about the special hafara, the special power that the Torah gives a father or a husband over his daughter's or wife's Nedarim.
What about
his son? His son, no.
Oh.
Okay, fine.
So that's
the person says, I'm a Nazir, then he's a Nazir for 30 days. There's no such thing as saying, we're going to learn a Masechta Nazir. We'll learn in a few months from now. It's the next Masechta after this one. We'll learn. A person says, for example, I'm a Nazir today. Is nozer for 30 days. But there's no such thing as being a nozer only for today. Yeah. On the other hand, a person can make a neder, for example, that fruit, this fruit is also to me only today, and tomorrow it'll be multi-tay.
Can I ask you to repeat that or some mechan a short nutshell? Because you pointed out that there's a difference between hafara and
So we're saying that when the father or the husband is mefer, then it's megas gaius. He's cutting off the neder, meaning until now it was in effect, and now it's no longer in effect. So now imagine that we're saying that only that less than 30 days of the Nazirus have passed. Since by definition, Nazirus is at least 30 days, without the Hekesh, this is how the Osamayach learns it, without the Hekesh, you would have thought the father or the husband has no ability to be Mefer within 30 days, because that would break the rule of Nazirus not being less than 30 days. Here you have there was Nazirus in effect for 10 days and then it's gone. Therefore, we need to be told that nevertheless he has that right. So it means that Nazirus is cut off from now on. In practice, it means that the Nazirus is no longer in effect. Therefore, there's not going to be any shaving and bringing korbanos and so on and so forth. But the point is, otherwise, we would have thought that maybe once a person has made a neder of Nazirus, it always has to be allowed to exist for at least 30 days before we can talk about canceling it. And therefore, we're being told that they're therefore being told that not. Again, that was the Ursameas Chidush. According to the Ran, we're saying the other way around. Most Nedarim are open-ended. They could conceivably be for the rest of the person's life, whereas Nazirus, unless otherwise specified, is going to be for 30 days. So you would have thought that maybe, okay, let him wait 30 days. What's the hurry? Don't rush to be made for you. In 30 days, it's going to be over anyhow.
Why the two sides? One thing that the Nedar doesn't have a minimum or one.
Because the fact is, a neder doesn't have a minimum or a maximum.
But
so there,
you get the Torah perspective to say that's the way the Gemara is
better. Because the Gemara is using the expression kitsusa and stam nezirus, lamed yoyim. So you have two different ways of understanding what kitsusa means. Does it mean a maximum or does it mean a minimum?
And you would be lenient about something that could be minimized to even one day?
You would think, maybe. Okay, let's go down to the next piece of Gemara. We said in the Mishnah, we had in the Mishnah as follows. We had five expressions that a person might use, which we said are considered yodas. We said, mudrani mimcha, he says, I am under a neder from you. Mufurshani mimcha, I am separated from you. I'm not mufurshani would mean I'm removed from you. Meruchakni mimcha, I'm distanced from you. And then another one, shani oichaloch, that I will eat from you, or meaning whatever I would have eaten from you, shani toyamach, or whatever I would have tasted of yours. So now let's discuss, and we said that also. So now let's discuss that. So hoimalachaveh mudani b'chula, omashmu b'chulon. All of those things that we're saying in the Mishnah, mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, would all have to be ad shi yoyim shani oichalach shani toyim lach. Shmuel is saying that not those five different expressions in the Mishnah. Any of the first three have to be paired with any of the other two. So in other words, according to Shmuel, if he just says mudrani mimcha without saying anything else, on the face of it, this is how we're understanding Shmuel right now, it would mean that's not a valid neder. That's not even considered a yad. Because we have like this. We're going to discuss as we go through the sugya, we're going to start it today and continue it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. When we discuss yodos, we have to distinguish between two different kinds. They're called yodayim mechichos and yodayim she'enam mechichos. Yodayim mechichos would be where it's a partial declaration. The most rational, the most logical way of explaining this yad is to say that it constitutes a neder. You could kvetch ein in what he's saying and say that it means something else, but the default explanation, if you ask the man on the street, what does this phrase mean? He would tell you that it means a net. That's called yadayim mechichas. Then you have yadayim she'enan mechichas, which is, it's equally for you. You could explain it as a neder, but it's also very possible to explain it as not constituting a neder at all. So that would be called Yadayim She'enam Mechichas. So Rishonim discuss the ins and outs, what happens if it's exactly 50-50, for example, and so forth. But that's the basic idea. You have Mechichas versus She'enam Mechichas. So it sounds like Shmuel is saying that just saying Mudrani Mimcha is not enough to be considered Yadayim Mechichas. Only if he pairs it together with the word Shani Eicholach, then it makes it clear that he means that I am saying whatever I would have eaten of yours instead is going to be Osir on a Neder. So there, and the same thing with the other ones. So according to him, it's not five different expressions. It's you have six possibilities. Any of the first three paired with any of the other two. So the Gemara says, Maisvi, though I have a contradiction from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Mudrani mimcha, mufashani mimcha, murachakni mimcha. The Braisa first mentions the first three expressions from our Mishnah. Hareza osir. And it says he's osir. Then it continues, shani oichaloch, shani toyim loch, hareza osir. Then it continues, if he says that I would eat from you or that I would taste from you, then it's osir. So now, the problem is that the Braisa seems that now the Braisa is putting osir in the middle over there. So it sounds like the Braisa is not saying like Shmuel is saying that you pair one of the first with one of the second. It sounds like just saying Mudrani Mimcha is enough all by itself, not like Shmuel is saying. Which the Ran explains, the Mishnah is one thing. The Mishnah only said also one time at the end. So you could say that the last two expressions, Shani Toyim Loch, Shani Oichaloch, Shani Toyim Loch, are meant to clarify when are the first to be effective, only if you pair them with one of those two. But the Braisa is clearly saying also on each group. So it sounds like each one by itself is enough to make him also, not like Shmuel. I'll tell you that he's also that now the Neder is in effect. So the answer is, still fine, the Braisa could mean, it could still mean, when would it be that if he says, Mudrani Mimcha, but Shani Oichaloch Shani Toimach, only if he also says one of the second group, Shani Oichaloch or Shani Toimach. So it doesn't necessarily have to contradict Shmuel.
Why was there initially Shmuel accepted? Why was he initially accepted?
Who says he was originally accepted? We brought a din from him. Now we're trying to see whether he fits with the Mishnah.
He's liable for a Mishnah. He has to know a Mishnah.
That's what we're trying to figure out. So that's what the Ran is saying. The Mishnah doesn't contradict Shmuel at all. The question is the Braisa. The Amoraim have to know all the Mishnayos. They don't have to know all the Braises. So he can answer that the Mishnah is not contradicting him. The Mishnah mentioned five expressions, but we're meant to break them up into three and two. So any of the three can't combine with any of the two. But the Braisa, where it clearly says also after the first three, and again also after the second group, right here the Braisa is in front of us. Don't turn back. No. But right here, meis mudar anim imcha, mufreshani imcha, meruchakni imcha, harei ze osur, shani oichaloch shani toyimach, harei ze osur. So it sounds like any of those five individually is enough to make him osur. So the answer is Hachikatani. Shmuel can still end for the Braisa and say, "Bamed Varam Amorim." What it means is, it listed the first three. When would any of the first three make a Moser? But Omer Shani Oichaloch Shani Toyimach. Only if he also says one of the second group. So now the question is, "Vahatanya Ipcha." But we have a Braisa that says them the other way around. That says, "Shani Oichaloch Shani Toyimach Oser Mudrani Mimchom Ufreshani Mimchom Ruchakni Mimcha Hareza Oser." And there you can't say it now. Certainly, if a person says Shani Toyimach, that all by itself constitutes a neder. No question about that. That for sure is considered Yodayim HaMechichas. He's saying, what I would have eaten of yours So therefore, we understand that he means that he means the rest of the statement is also by a neder. So he doesn't need to say mudrani mimcha to make shani oichaloch or shani toimach by itself also. So if the next brisa, now the Rosh calls it over here, the Rosh has a girsa over here, the Gemara is calling it the sefer of the brisa. So he says it's not really a sefer, it's not really the continuation of the same brisa, it's actually a different brisa, but because we're quoting it next, then we call it the sefer. And therefore, for the same reason, the Gemara soon is going to call the first one the resha. But they're not actually parts of the same brisa. The Ran Bechal doesn't have the word resha and say he doesn't have the word sefer in here at all. And he says resha also means that it means the first brisa that we quoted. Anyway, the point is the last brisa that we said has him the other way around. First, it says shani oichaloch, shani toimloch. Then it mentions the mudrani mimcha for shani mimcha. Now, for sure, we can't say that it means when is shani toimloch effective only if he pairs it up with mudrani mimcha, because that's not so. Just saying shani oichaloch by itself is enough to constitute a neder. So now you have a real question on Shmuel. So the answer is toni hochi. Okay, you can still infer the last brisa and say ukvar oma mudrani. That we're talking about, he says shani toyimach, and previously he had said mudran. Well, the Gemara asks, yohchi einu resha. Well, in that case, that's exactly the same as the previous brisa. Then there's no reason to have different brisas that use different styles like that over there. But oid, and besides that, we have a question from in both brisas, also lomalei the misni. Why repeat the word also in if you're going to say again in the Mishnah, it only said also one time at the end. So you can say it means a group of three paired, any of the group of three paired with any of the group of two. But in these brises, leaving aside the question of the order, if that's all it meant, that he's also only if he says one from group A and one from group B, then why repeat the word also after each one of them? That implies that one from group A by itself is enough to make him also, and one from group B by itself is enough to make him also. When it's not according to Shmuel, it's not so. Before we get to the answer, by the way, the Ran discusses in some detail over here that first of all you could argue that if he says shani oichaloch or shani toyimloch, that's not really a yad of a neder. If anything, a neder we said is chal on the object. A shvua is chal on the person. If he says shani, if he says shani oichaloch, then if he doesn't use the word koinam, then it's not really then fakert. You could say if he says shani oichaloch, maybe it means that I will eat. So the Ran says because that can't be. Then we're talking about over here a yad of a neder, and if he said that I will eat, that's a shvur, not a neder. A neder has to be an object. The shvur has to be on the person. If he says shani oichaloch means that I will eat from you, then that's not a neder. That would be a shvur, if anything, a shvur that I will eat from you. If we want to understand that as a neder, then by definition, it means that we have to consider it. If we're going to consider it a yad of a neder, it means that implicitly he's saying that what I would have eaten of yours is also as a koinah. And then, so in other words, we're filling in the word koinah. That's a yad. It's a yad of a neder. No, kinui is something else. Kinui is when he says koinam. Koinam itself is a kinui, fine. But koinam itself is a kinui, fine. But the yad would be that he's saying shani oichaloch, and we're filling in that what I would have eaten of yours should be also like a korban, which is a neder. But we're saying, in other words, if he had actually meant fakir shani oichaloch that I will eat something of yours, that would constitute a shavua. If anything, that would constitute a shavua that he will eat from the other guy's food, and that's obviously not what he meant. A neder and a shavua, there's a number of differences. One of them being that a neder is on an object. This object is also to me a shavua, is I'm obligating myself to do or not to do such and such.
But the Mishnah used the word shani.
So actually, the Ran points out that you have two different gersois in the Mishnah. One is shani and one is she'en.
But even shani works.
Shani works, right. So, right.
He's saying something.
That's the thing, because when he's saying. Right, so when he's saying sha'ani, that's the thing. When he says sha'ani oichaloch, it means what I would have eaten of yours is also to me. When he says, so that's the Ran says, if you say she'eni, then wouldn't that constitute a shvur? So why are we mentioning it? So then the Ran says, if you have the Gyusa She'eni, still, then you would have to say that he used the word Koinam, but since he used the word She'eni, which is referring to himself, then therefore we say that it's still considered, so it's considered a neder that was expressed in the form of a Shavua, which nevertheless is considered a neder. A yad would be not only when he used a partial declaration, but also when he expressed it in the terms that would have been appropriate for a Shavua, but instead he means a neder. That's how the Ran explains.
Isn't something like a
nazir
when he's a
nazir? Nazir is a type of nazir.
So he's making an object.
Yeah, well, I mean, a nazir is a special type of nazir. In effect, it's a kind of a hybrid. But yeah, okay. So the answer is Ella Omer Shmuel. So rather, no. What you have to say when Shmuel said. So again, let's refer back. Shmuel had said, "Bekulon ad sheyoma shani oichalach shani toyach." We understood Shmuel to be saying so far that if he had said Mudrani Mimcha without saying anything else, that would not constitute a neder. That would not even be considered a yad for a neder. Only if he says Mudrani Mimcha shani oichalach, then that combination would make a neder. Now we're going to understand Shmuel differently. Taima de om fakir. Only if he says Mudrani Mimcha together with Shani Oichalach or Shani Toimlach, then it would be he is also to eat from the other guy, but the other guy remains mutter to eat from his food. Because he's saying Mudrani Mimcha, I am under a neder from you, namely on what? Shani Toimlach, whatever I would have tasted of yours. Avo, but now we have to understand what Shmuel was saying differently. If he only uses the word Mudrani Hemach, Hemach is another way of saying Mimcha, if he only said Mudrani Mimcha without saying anything else, Shnei Lachude by itself, Shnehen Asurin. The result of that would be they would both be also to have Hanav from each other. Because by saying Mudrani Mimcha without specifying what the Mudrani Mimcha is on, then we understand that it to mean, Fakir, he's saying it is a yad for a neder, and in fact, it's a stronger yad. It means that now he is also to have hanav from the other guy, and the other guy is also to have hanav from him. Because by saying Mudrani Mimcha, he's saying that I am under a neder to not have hanav from you, and also my hanav is under a neder to you that you should not have hanav from me. So therefore, just saying Mudrani. So Fakir, when Shmuel said, "Bekolan ad sheyomo shani oichalach shani toimlach," Shmuel meant, if you say that, if you use one from column A and one from column B, then the result is you've made a weaker kind of neder where it's only that you can't have hanav from the other guy, but he can have hanav from you. But if you only said Mudrani Mimcha, then that would answer in both directions. As in fact, Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says exactly that, that if a person says Mudrani Mimcha, the result is both them are also to each other. Because that's what it means. The Ran and the Rosh explain. It means I and my Nechosim are under a neder from you. Are under a neder from you and from your Nechosim. So therefore, it includes the Nechosim on both sides. So therefore, the result is neither one can have Hana from the other one. So that's what Shmuel means. So therefore, that's not contradicted by any of the Brises we were saying. Because the Brises were saying that if he says, Mudrani Mimcha Hareza Osir, good. So what it means is he's Osir, they're Osir in both directions. The same way for Shani Mimcha and the rest of them. And if he says, Shani Oichaloch or Shani Toyimloch, then it would mean it's only one directional that he's Osir from eating from the other guy's food, but not the other way around. So Shmuel was saying, now also, if you combine and you use one from one group and one from the other, then it means that you're also only in one direction, whereas if you did only Mudrani Mimcha, then you'd be also in both directions. And we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, with analyzing that point of what Shmuel and what Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina are saying and working out the ins and outs of that. Shani Oichaloch Lachud would only be that he's also to eat from the other guy's food. The other guy would perfectly be mutter to eat from his food. There's nothing whatsoever in the words Shani Oichaloch that would suggest that the other guy should be also to eat from his food. So Shani Oichaloch by itself would be a yad for saying that I am not allowed to eat, that your food is also to me like a korban. Mudrani Mimcha Shani Oichaloch would be the same thing. Mudrani Mimcha by itself would be a yad to say that now we're also to each other.
Because initially we're saying, according to the Ran in the first answer, that Shani Oichaloch is not good enough to make it a yad.
In the previous answer in the Gemara, we were saying that if he just says Shani Oichaloch, the question was, why is that good enough by itself without saying the word koinam? How is that a yad? Doesn't that amount to a shvua saying I will eat from yours? But now we're saying so the Ran had answered that he didn't say the word koinam, but the fact is, since he said Shani Oichaloch, If he meant to say that I'll eat from you, he would have just said oichaloch. When he says sha'ani, it means that means whatever I would have eaten of yours, and then we fill in the rest, is going to be aser. But now we're saying a different answer, which is that what Shmuel means is that by saying sha'ani oichaloch, with or without madrani mimcha, means exclusively that I won't eat of yours, as opposed to just madrani mimcha by itself would make them now aser to each other.
And with that second answer, there's no contradiction with the brayta.
So therefore, according to that second possibility, yeah, there's no contradiction from the brayta, that's right.
Which was the reason